Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want you to holler at me. Give me a call, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And you're afraid to call me, I always ask you, email a brother, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, I'm there for you. In the meantime, if you ghost listening, I know some of y'all ghost listen, jump in the chat room, say something, talk to me. And you're afraid to do that. Not that I'm saying you're afraid, but some folks, they're not as publicly social. You can hit me up on your social network. I know y'all do that. Jump on the social network. Hit me up on my Facebook page, Smooth Drama. Facebook page. Also, just Google Smooth Drama wherever you social network. If I'm there, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk about it. Whatever. I'm still on the fence with the Snapchat and all that. Instagram, because I'm just not one to take videos and pictures all day. I don't know. I'm just not built that way. But hey, if I get enough people saying I need to do it, I'll find somebody else to do it. Anyway. Oh man. Great Super Bowl this weekend. Although some people are not that happy because, of course, the New England Patriots won, and I had a guy tell me, hey, well, if you're happy that New England won, you're happy. It's like a vote for Trump. And I'm like, nah, I got a unique perspective. See, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. If you know me, you've listened to me for a while, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. What is the glass half full kind of guy? Gets out of Super Bowl with two teams that you don't like it. And if you don't know me, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan through and through. So I cannot like the Atlanta Falcons. It doesn't matter. When they made the Super Bowl, my nuts hurt. And so them coming from ahead, because I was like, oh man, Atlanta's going to win the Super Bowl first half. And you know, they'll be insufferable. But when they came from ahead and broke a record, meaning 93-0 was the record of teams that were up by 20 at the half. I am glad to say that the Atlanta Falcons team that I hate in my division broke the record and came from ahead and lost. I know they're like, oh, Tom Brady, Donald Trump, whatever. I don't even recognize that. I mean, what happened at the end didn't matter. At that point, just walk out the sports bar, just stop watching the game. The celebration, whatever. I wasn't feeling none of that. I just felt Atlanta losing. It made my day. I don't know about anybody else, but I was fulfilled. It was like if I was a drinking man, I was high at that moment. And speaking of being high at that moment, Marcellus Bennett, tight end for the winners, New England Patriots, said, hey, they asked him, is he going to accompany his teammates to the White House? He's like, yeah, I haven't thought about it. I am not going to go. And he said, I can elaborate later on in life. Right now, I'm just trying to enjoy this. People know how I feel about it. Just follow me on Twitter. Now, of course, he's been very outspoken. You know how I always talk about the coon train. He has not been a fan of the coon train and all those who have gone to see Trump, Kanye West, Steve Harvey, people like that. he even called Kanye West. He said, so Kanye didn't take the time to vote, and now he holding on to Trump's coattail like Peter Pettigrew to Lord Voldemort. Kanye Pettigrew. Now, if you're a nerd on some Harry Potter stuff, you understand that that's funny for no reason whatsoever. If you don't, look it up. If you don't get it, it doesn't matter. It's just funny, nonetheless. So, as you can see, I mean, and he also was one of those Kaepernick supporters. Well, I won't say Kaepernick supporters. I'll just say poor, oppressed people supporters that fist up during the national anthem. So, shout out to Martellus Bennett for not jumping on the coon train. But we're not going to get that political. I mean, although we are talking about politics, there's another women's march that's organized, that's being organized. They haven't come out with a date yet, but it's going to be a strike. And supposedly the strike is going to be called A Day Without a Woman. So what's supposed to happen, they're going to boycott companies that supported Trump, and including some we'll be talking about a little bit later on the show, Uber and Nordstrom. So interesting, women talking about a day without a woman. I'm curious to see what happens. I mean, I am of the belief that if you want to affect companies, you just do not buy their products. That's how you show disaffection for their politics. But I, as you know, as a company, I want to show my support for the women. And you know, I'm saying how we at Smooth Drama look out for the ladies. First and foremost, you know, I've always been a supporter of GoTopless.org, which was where the women having the right to go topless like men. So, I mean, I'm on record with that one. It's like full 5 years in a row. I think that's very important. Also, I ran across a study for the ladies where it says crossing your legs. And there was a study published in the blood pressure monitoring that stated that sitting with your leg crossed can increase your blood pressure. And they gave the reason is because the blood in your legs has to work against gravity to be pumped back to your heart. So crossing one leg over the other increases resistance, making it even harder for the blood to circulate. And so this causes your body to increase your blood pressure to push the blood back to the heart. Now, why is that important? Well, obviously, as you get older, blood pressure is important, you know, heart failure. And you have to take these medicines, whatnot, to bring your blood pressure down. Where we have a simple, very simple solution. Instead of all that extra, ladies, just leave your legs open. I know, sounds crazy, but it actually is not. If crossing your legs gives you higher blood pressure, keeping your legs open will, of course. I'm sorry. Keeping your legs open will lower your blood pressure. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Right? It's a study. And I'm like, well, why not? Makes sense to me. If crossing your legs raises your blood pressure, uncrossing your legs, keeping them legs open, just keeping them legs open, ladies, bam, you're good to go. See, this is how we at Smooth Drama, and when I say we at Smooth Drama, I have the frameworks of a team. I have a research. I got a couple research assistants. Shout out to my research assistants. And I have bloggers, so I always want to give a shout out to my bloggers and my research assistants that hook me up with news left and right. You are greatly appreciated. So this is for you. So if you've been crossing your legs thinking, you know what? I'm trying to be chaste, whatnot. You've been going about it the wrong way. Open it up. Just air it out. I'm not saying let the world see. I'm just saying tastefully keep your legs open. It'll be good for you. And your heart and your blood pressure will reflect that. Reflect. I can't speak today. But looking out for y'all. Also, I saw another article, a study that supposedly is down to help the ladies also. There's a woman who 26-year-old Alicia Franklin, who was already a member of the High IQ Society, Mensa. She has scored 154 on her qualification test in September 2015. So she was searching for a way to improve her intelligence. And she found a new way. Apparently, she developed an IQ of 220 after drinking sperm every day for a year. Allegedly, she raised her IQ by more than 65 points in 13 months after she began ingesting a daily dose of, and I quote, fresh sperm. Her new results show that her cognitive intelligence, her perception, and her memory have all greatly improved. And according to her latest supervised test, her IQ is now evaluated at 220. And I'm quoting Ms. Franklin here. I did a lot of research on ways to improve my intelligence, and I found out that drinking sperm was probably the simplest and most efficient of them all, she told Science Today. There are many nutrients and chemical elements in it that are extremely important for the development of the brain. And according to Ms. Franklin, she started to notice beneficial effects less than 2 weeks after she started ingesting semen. So ladies, don't take it from me. I'm just a guy who's trying to help you out. I support you in everything you do. And so, take it from another lady, a smart lady, who says, hey, it worked for me. Now, don't get me wrong. It could be a placebo effect. You know, how you have people who they take pills and they feel better. And maybe it was that. You take the sperm every day and you feel better. And thus it opens up your mind. I mean, because as your mind goes, your body goes, right? If your mind is healthy, your body's healthy. So, I'm not saying it works or it doesn't work. I'm just going off of testimony. You know, we talked about, I mean, and we say it's an urban myth that sperm on the skin, sperm in the hair is good for you. I mean, there's a whole website where they talk about recipes with sperm, whatnot. But this is real simple and organic. Fresh sperm can make you smarter. Yeah. I'm going on break. This is Outkast. Elevator. Me and you. Maybe me and you can share some sperm sometime. I don't know.
Two for the show. A couple of years ago, on head, Lenando Low was the starter. Something good, where me and my nigga rode the martyr through the hood, just trying to find that hook up. Now every day we looked up at the ceiling, watching ceiling fans go round, trying to catch that feeling off instrumental. Had my pencil and plus my paper. We caught the 86 lights on your head into Decatur, writing rhymes, trying to find our spot off in that light off in that spot. Knowing that we can rock, doing the hole in the wall club. This shit here must stop, like breathe. We making the crowd move, but we not making no G's. And that way, no.
A 1-2, dope niggas in the Cadillac. They call us with a plague of balls. Putting a stop up on the map. Looks like Little Rock to banging. Niggas say, motherfuck, that's plaguing. They paying, we staying, legging. Vocals done. Made it with them big boys up in this industry. Outcast, yeah, them niggas, they making big noise. Over a million sold to this day. Niggas, they take it lightly. 96 gon' be that year that out. Y'all plaguers, they just invite me.
Around your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat. Coming up, slamming that back door. Me and you. Your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat. Coming up, slamming that back door.
Back in the day when I was younger, conga, looking to fill me belly with that rally. Bullshit, pull shit off like it was supposed to be poor. Full of the tick, I was stone like them white boys. Smoking them white goods before them blunts got crawled. Chunky asses, passes getting sold like Hail Marys. And they looking like Halle Berry. So, so fine, intertwined. But we ain't sipping wine, we just chilling. I'm the rabbit villain. And I'm so high, smoking freely. Me, Lil B, Ramon and Suge. And my little brother, James. Things changing the hood where I live at. Them rats know, mama, I want to sing. But mama, I want to trick. And mama, I'm sucking dicks now. We moving on up in the world like elevators. Me and the crew, we pimp like 82. Me and you like Tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this, East Point, and we gone.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat. Coming up, slamming that back door. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat.
I stopped at the mall the other day. Heard a call from the other way that I just came from. Some nigga was saying something, talking about ain't no something.
Your mama in school?
No, not really, but he kept smiling like a clown, facial expression looking silly, and he kept asking me, what kind of car you drive? I know you paid, I know y'all got Vuku, but pulled from all them songs that y'all done made. And I replied that I've been going through the same thing that he has. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me. To the end of the week, I live by the beat like you live check to check. If you don't move your feet, then I don't eat, so we like neck to neck. Yes, we done come a long way like them slim ass cigarettes from Virginia. This ain't gonna stop, but we just gonna continue.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat. Coming up, slamming that back door. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boat.
up like Cadillac, though. Me and you, your mama and your cousin, too. Rolling down the strip on the pole. Coming up like Cadillac, though. Me and you, your mama and your cousin, too. Rolling down the strip on the pole. Coming up like Cadillac, though.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Outkast, Me and You, Elevators. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And of course, don't forget to give me an email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. In light of the politics of the day, folks are going crazy, losing their minds behind this politics. But, I mean, but I'll say this. Yeah, it's racial. White people, y'all take y'all politics to the extreme. Like, y'all want to kill each other. Y'all fighting in the streets. I mean, it's on behind politics. Perfect example. This couple, they broke up. They were together for 22 years. What happened? You know, she was a Democrat. He was a Republican. He was like, you know what? I plan on voting for Trump. And she's like, you know what? That's a deal breaker. Now, for most folks, and this is part of my segment, dear white people, I'm thinking 22 years of marriage is over behind a presidential candidate that don't give a about either one of y'all, don't know you exist, will never know you exist, and you're going to break up your, I'm thinking that y'all was happy, but, and I mean, and so y'all know, she's 73. He's 72. So they've been together for a minute. And they're old. You're gonna break up your companionship over Donald Trump. I mean, oh, dear white people, please stop it. Please, I get you don't want to support the guy. I mean, I get what she's saying. Look, he said a lot of bad stuff, and what he's talking about is not necessarily good for anyone. Now, obviously, yeah, her husband got some issues, and I would take it that her husband is a racist, because generally speaking, most of the folks, either you're a racist or you just, you weren't happy with other people, and you're selfish about it. I mean, there's the whole, we've talked about it, how he would talk about things that were outdated, but the people who lived in those places that were outdated, they thought, well, he's gonna bring that industry back. But no, it's not going to happen. I mean, and as you see, everything that he's done so far has been in his and his homies' interest. So for you to break up, that is unfortunate. It makes no sense whatsoever. But, hey.
Whew.
I don't know. Maybe they'll get back together. In the meantime, speaking of the politics and what's happening, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, he quit Trump's council of business leaders. he wrote to his employees saying, "Hey, I've spoken with Trump today to let him know that I would not be able to participate on his economic council." He goes on to say that joining the group was not meant to be an endorsement of the president or his agenda, but unfortunately, it has been misinterpreted to be exactly that. Now, he left on the eve of the first meeting, but the real reason is it's been, they in particular, Uber, has been beset and hit from all sides. All folks talking about boycotting. I mean, and he knows that it's in trouble because when they had the taxi strike and Uber was still working, and it's like you're supporting Trump and you're supporting the policies, and Uber started to take a hit. And of course, as a startup company, you know, trying to make headway, folks boycotting you is not a good thing. So he was stuck like, "All right, hey." Now we know when he joined the Council of Business Leaders, he was endorsing that because it was popular. But now that his money is being messed up, hey, we in no way, shape, or form endorse him or his agenda. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but where I'm from, if you join up with somebody, you kind of are endorsing what they're about, because you don't join up with people that you don't endorse, right? I mean, am I missing something? There's like some common sense that's just there, that's not there. I'm like, I've never, as a businessman myself, and speaking, I mean, if we're talking about a merger with another company, it's because one, we have similar business interests, and I endorse what that company is doing because I'm aligning myself and my money and everything with said company. But as we know, this is the era of alternate facts. So you would have a guy like Travis Kalanick who would come out and say, "Yeah, I wasn't endorsing him. I was just down with him. It's different. We was on the same team, but it's like, as you know, I coach basketball. It's like we on the same team, but I never pass him the ball. I pass it to everybody else but him. I don't really care if we're winning, whatnot, and playing together as a team. We're on the same team, but I don't pass to him. And I hope he misses every shot." I mean, that's basically what is aching to. It's kind of funny that you have this in this era of alternative facts. This kind of stuff happens. And for me, it's scary that people are okay with the lies. I mean, like the blatant lies that are against your interests, blatant lies that are against your interests. I don't get. I've never understood one, people voting against their interests, and then now you're co-signing on folks that don't care about you. It's really, really weird. But I guess common sense is not one of those things that is conducive to living nowadays. We just got to make sure that we don't make sense, because if we don't make sense, then maybe you're right, and if you make sense, then there's something wrong with you. It's one of those weird things. Sort of like, you know, I talked about a study earlier. I saw another study, and it's showering. And I was feeling it. It was kind of cool, funny study. They talking about loofahs and washcloths as opposed to bar soap. As we know, loofah, sponges, whatnot, cloth, they hold germs. Hot water is not better than cold water. And, you know, I'm like, okay, you start losing me there, because I'm not taking a cold shower unless I'm like in Jamaica or somewhere in the islands where it's like 102 degrees and I'm burning hot and I want to cool off. That's the only reason why I would think of that. And even then, cold showers, nah, I'm good. I'm not on drugs. I don't need a cold shower. The longer the better. I've been known to take a long shower or 385. But you know, talking about water temperature affects your pores. You're saying cold water closes your pores while hot water opens them up. They talk about pore size is genetic. There's some jokes in there somewhere, maybe. I don't know. They say pore size is genetic. Like, I guess genetics matter with pores too. Not going to mean, you know, we talk about size matters and some other things, but apparently pore size. We're not going to stay there. They talk about, oh, you should shower in the morning. They're like, no, you should. And then they're talking about dry off with brisk toweling, try to avoid rubbing your skin with the towel. I don't know what else. They're talking about dabbing. I mean, obviously, we're not dabbing like the kids be dabbing. Just put the arm out and touch the shoulder. But they're talking about dabbing your skin and moisturizing yourself. And I was like, I was cool with it until I got to the last myth. Myth number 8 said you should shower every day. And they're like, no. Actually, no. They're saying, no, you should not shower. Some scientist called Shane House says washing only the armpits, feet, and other particularly dirty parts daily, and avoiding soap if you shower more than once a day. And they also suggest that showering 3 days a week should actually do it. Now, as a student of history, I remember the Roman Empire, they used to have the bathhouses where they actually Saturnalia, which was the forerunner of Christmas, which was the original name of Christmas, it was called Saturnalia. They would have the bathhouses and they would all get together and they would eat, fornicate, throw up, and roll around, have sex in it. And then they would bathe. They had bathhouses where they would bathe. And so the Roman Catholic Church came in and was like, nah, you should only bathe like once a month. What happens? You have the plague. People who don't bathe carry diseases. So we come back and I hear them. Yeah, 3 days a week should actually do it. But I'm going to suggest that, nah, every day, wash your stinky ass. Do not avoid soap. If you got to put on some extra lotion or some oil, I would suggest that organic coconut oil. But please, do not listen to these folks who say, hey, you should not shower. The world is messed up and has all these diseases because people don't want to use soap or do not have access to soap and other hygienic practices and ways to practice hygienically. So when you talk about alternative facts, nah, wash your ass and use deodorant. Do not avoid the soap. Embrace soap. That's my message to you. If you're listening, I'm reinforcing. I mean, because I'm assuming that the majority of my listeners, they love soap. And I'm seconding that. And if you do not love soap, maybe you should. Just as a thought. I don't know. Please. But now we're talking about, once again, alternative facts and what we should avoid and not avoid. I saw that a teacher who was suspended after rescinding a college letter for a student who made a swastika. Spouting high school teacher, an Army veteran, and one of three teachers, actually, who were disciplined for discussing the swastika a student fashioned from tape and displayed in the hallway. Two of the teachers received disciplinary letters, and the third was suspended for 20 days because she explained to college admissions officials why she was revoking her letter of recommendation for the student. And here's the crazy part. The student believed that he was being targeted, creating a hostile environment for him by members of the faculty because of his actions, despite having already been disciplined by the administration. Now, most of us know the swastika in the real world, not the alternative facts world, the swastika is a symbol for a terrorist group. I know we don't call white groups terrorists, but a terrorist group whose sole aim is to put themselves up above everyone else, keep themselves quote unquote pure, and kill those who are not pure like them. So the teachers, and the teacher in particular who got 20 days suspended because they rescinded the letter, because, well, that kid is not a good person and probably doesn't belong around other well-adjusted kids. You're wrong for that. I mean, see, this is what we talk about here. A kid that embraces hate and is in fact endorsing a terrorist group. Because, I mean, last time I checked, the Nazis were a terrorist group. the Klan and all white supremacists are terrorist groups. Who killed and maimed people because they did not look like them? Those are the facts. There was nothing humanitarian about the Nazis or white supremacists in general. But the student believed that he was being targeted and was part of a hostile environment created by him, mind you. Because they're like, yeah, this kid is not a nice person. Endorse it. I mean, because he's a terrorist. I mean, we talking about banning folks, but what about the folks that are here that are terrorists? I mean, obviously, they're not going to ban him, but we shouldn't endorse them either, and we shouldn't show them any love. If you're a terrorist, why are we giving you love? And I mean, I'm sorry, as somebody who is of that group, of the swarthy perspective, why am I showing them any love? And hell yeah, I would take my letter of recommendation away from their ass. But hey, that is an alternative opinion, apparently. So I'm going on break. This is Slum Village. Hold tight.
You hear me? I'm out now. This is the last time to cheer me. Niggas, if the game is getting too slimy, liable to make this piece, brother, turn grimy. I'ma leave it in the hands of the slum now. Take it away from where it comes from now. A lot of you cats in the music business, shiftless. I put you on the shit list. Did your intuition say the shit on me? I'ma just flip the rear. Do you hear me? D'Angelo, play your piano. JD, flip another beat for me. Hold tight with my tear and my nigga T3. Bust a bus, watch out for who you trust. Ali Shaheed, it's your blood that I bleed. Yes, twice. For you, I will give a life. It's the ownership of real, so there's no more life. When you foul, motherfuckers, change your wrong to right. Make sure you bring the music to the area of life. Hold tight. Hold tight.
Hold tight. Your money is disguising your attention, man. Yo. I gotta mention, damn. Who the fuck is this sitting in my session, man? This is my project, called Most of MC Shan. Not yours. What's your intentions, man? You probably bootlegging my tape at a concession stand. What the fuck? Niggas never learn their lessons, man. I try my best not to hold a slip to Western, man. But I gotta hold something because niggas test you, man. Anyway, yo, keep moving, keep the questions, man. Maybe I can bless you with the test presence, man. Until then, hold tight.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Slum Village. Hold tight. Now, of course, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, call-in number is 347-826-7435. Talking about holding tight. Oh, let's hold tight on our Groundhog Day. If you don't know what Groundhog Day is, in the Smooth Drama lexicon, Groundhog Day is racism that happens every day that has never stopped here in America. And we get constant daily reminders, which is why it's Groundhog Day. And if you don't know where the connotation of Groundhog Day comes from, it comes from the Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day, where he goes to see the little fray rat-type creature, the groundhog, to get the weather, where they got that stupid tradition from, I don't know, don't care. And he goes through the same day every day for like a year or something like that. Every day he wakes up to the same song, do the same thing, talk to the same people. In our lexicon here at Smooth Drama, it's the racism. Case in point, According to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, human trafficking, aka slavery, is up 5,526 cases from the previous year based on the group's data. Now, they say human trafficking because we talked about before, it sounds nicer to say human trafficking instead of just what it is, slavery. You know, slavery has never stopped. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, it's a Martin Delaney quote where he said there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the people who wanted slavery to stop because it happened. And then there are people who want slavery to stop because it happens to them and never the twain shall meet. Slavery. No time in history is slavery cool. Has ever been cool. I don't think there's any slave, even though They'll quote some movies, and there'll always gonna be some people who never been enslaved who will say, well, it wasn't that bad. They were cool with it. Yeah. See, this is why, you know, I would say that they'd be lucky that I'm not a scientist and that I don't have a time machine, because I would go back in time, and me and the homies have joked like every time the slave ship is like showing up on the shores of Africa, we just be waiting there with the Uzis, and they come on the boat, till we just get the rocket launcher and just blow up the boat, just keep blowing up the boat, like doesn't matter. That would be me going back in time. 1492. We go because remember, Christopher Crispo, aka Columbus, was running slaves. Oh, about the 1460s, 1470s. He ran them for like 20 years, 20, 30 years before Isabella and them pimped him out, had him come to the quote unquote New World, which everybody knew about. It wasn't quite new because you talking about millions of people are here, so can't be that new when people are already there. But once again, slavery. It's up. Groundhog Day. Some things never get old. Sort of like the other part two to Groundhog Day, where you have rich people tricking poor white people into voting for their best interests. Case in point, during a meeting with sheriffs, Donald Trump endorsed and encouraged cops taking away stuff from people, right? Asset forfeiture. If you've never heard of asset forfeiture, it's basically what law enforcement does. It allows cops to seize property from both criminals and, I make a special distinction, and suspected criminals, and direct those proceeds into their department coffers. Now, police will say, well, hey, we're taking money away from drug dealers. It's really simple. Civil asset forfeiture means the government can seize cash and property from people who have never been charged with crimes and then force them to engage in legal battles to prove their innocence and recover their assets. Now, think about this for a second. Now, and most critics, they say, hey, civil forfeiture is basically government's way of infringing on people's due process and property rights and gives law enforcement monetary incentive to engage in bad practices. Like, we know there are a lot of people who get the traffic tickets, whatnot. There's the urban myth that there's a, well, they say it's an urban myth, that there's a, what the bonus, there's what the quota that they have to have, parking tickets, whatnot. So this is how they get money. And when you think about it for a second, because they say, oh, we're taking money from drug dealers, but you're taking stuff from people who have never been charged with crimes. And then they're forced to spend money to prove their innocence, even though they haven't been charged, to recover what was theirs in the first place. And, you know, what happens? So here's Sheriff John Aubrey of Jefferson County in Kentucky. You know, one of them states where they don't really care about people that much. He talked with your president, Donald Trump, and here is the exchange that they had. Sheriff Aubrey, and the other thing is asset forfeiture. People want to say we're taking money and without due process. That's not true. We take money from dope dealers. The president, so you're saying, okay, so you're saying the asset taking you used to do and it had an impact, right? And you're not allowed to do it now? Aubrey says, no, they have curtailed it a little bit. And I'm sure the folks are. And the president, and that's for legal reasons or just political reasons. Aubrey, they make it political and they make up stories. So your president says, I'd like to look into that, okay? There's no reason for that. And so he goes on to say, hey, I mean, how simple can anything be? You all agree with that, I assume, right? And everyone else is like, yeah. So your president is like, yeah. So it's like the Iran deal. Nobody even understands how a thing like that could have happened. It does nothing. So he's basically endorsing it. He's like, he asked whether or not they need an executive order. He goes on to say, do we need any legislation or executive orders for that? And one of his appointees, Mr. Bowente, says, I don't think we need any executive orders. We just need kind of some encouragement to move in that direction. So Your president goes on to say, okay, good, you're encouraged, starts laughing. I love that answer because it's better than signing the executive orders and then these people take it and they make it look so terrible. Oh, it's so terrible. I love it. You're encouraged, okay? And boom, good, asset forfeiture. You're encouraged. Okay. End of the call. So basically, your president is saying, we can come, y'all go ahead on and keep taking their stuff. Now they say, drug dealer, we're taking the assets of drug dealers. But once again, we're talking about, it's sort of like you get arrested for a crime, and you post bail, whatnot, but they drop the charges. You don't get that bail money back. You got to jump through all kinds of hoops to try to recover your bail money. Or like they come in and jump, say we suspect something, and they take the stuff in your house. You have to go get your stuff, and you have to get a lawyer to get your stuff, even though you're not charged with a crime. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that sounds dirty, shady, whichever one you want to call it. It's beyond dirty, beyond shady. And it's endorsed. I mean, the cops is calling like, hey, well, they stopping that. I mean, and the money goes to the cops' coffers, meaning their general fund. So they're taking money from people like you and I. So you're paying them double because, one, your taxpayer dollars go to these suckers. So they're supposed to work for you, but they don't. Taking your taxpayer money, which is funding them in the first place, and then they can come in and take your stuff. And you have to spend all kinds of money. And you know, most folks can't afford to a lawyer. Asset forfeiture. Thumbs up by your president. Now, this affects everyone. As we know, and most folks won't admit, I mean, hey, we're going to take from poor white people too. I mean, that's always the funny part. Poor white people are always thinking, oh well, this is make us first. We're going to be better. Make America great again. But making America great again is just means taking money from poor white people and making black folks and so-called minorities work for free. That's kind of what happened. That's when America was great, because rich people didn't have to pay for anything. They got to keep all of their money, and you got nothing. That's making America great again. Now, if folks can't see that, shit, I don't even know what to tell you. But that's not alternative fact. That's American history. The real American history. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-word. This was another Smooth Drama production. I'm out to the next time. I will holler at y'all later. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.